It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word pray to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is our brother in Christ, Jace Morrow. How are you doing this morning, sir?
I'm doing good. How are y'all so far?
Blessed and highly flavored with favor. Thank you.
Put that on a t-shirt somewhere.
Yeah, right. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we always try to get it posted shortly after the program is ended. As long as there's no technical difficulties, which there have been the past few days, but that's okay. It'll get done. Our sponsor for today is Barber Dodson Ford Lincoln, located here in Elk City, Oklahoma. If you're in the market for a new or used vehicle, I encourage you to reach out to Barber Dodson Ford Lincoln, located here in Elk. They can find you what you're looking for. I think I covered it all, sir. Would you please pray to start us out?
I sure will. All right, let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we are thankful for you that we have this time and space just to gather and to worship your holy name, and God, and just see what you say in your scripture about our topic today. God, the last thing that these people need to hear is from Jace Morrow. God, they ultimately need to hear from you. So God, I'm blessed that I get this opportunity, but God, it's not about the words that I have to say today. It's about the one who I'm talking about. And so God, I just pray that whatever ears this falls on, God, whether it's a person that's already put their faith and trust in you, that they would find this encouraging and equipping for the ministry of the saints. Father, I pray that if this falls on ears of those who may not know you as their Lord and Savior, that God, that they would hear about the good news of Jesus Christ and the ultimate sacrifice that you've paid for them so that they could have forgiveness of sin and eternal life with you. So God, whatever your will is, I pray that it is done, not ours. So God, may you receive all the glory and praise that's rightfully yours. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title this morning, The Good News.
That's it. I don't know what else to title it. this is something that's really important to me. This is kind of something I usually do around Easter time, but this is something, it does not need to just stay around Easter time. For me, I feel like one of my spiritual gifts is evangelism. Whether or not, if I'm good at it or not, it's one of the things that I'm very passionate about is just sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, is sharing the gospel. And I say that I save this around Easter time because I titled this past year, He is Risen, Now What? Because I feel like we gather around Easter time, you know, and we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why we have a living hope, why we have faith, is because Jesus is not dead. He is risen from the grave. But we go on Sunday, we worship Jesus, we celebrate Resurrection Day, and we're happy that he's alive and well, and then we just kind of continue on throughout the rest of the year, waiting until Christmas, until next year, Easter, when really every day is Resurrection Day, because every day Jesus is alive and well, and there's victory in his name. And that's something that we as followers of Jesus should celebrate daily, regularly, and be happy to share about. One of the things that, man, when we're passionate about something, when we're excited about whatever it is, we want to share it. Especially like if you could talk to anybody and be like, hey, what's your favorite TV show right now? What's your favorite thing on Netflix, on Hulu? What's your favorite Disney Plus movie right now? What's your favorite Marvel movie? Whatever it is, a lot of people won't struggle with that. A lot of people will bat out an answer pretty quickly. Why? Because they are invested in those things. They love those topics. They care about those things. I think at the heart of every believer, we should be just as invested in the message that we have in Jesus and be willing to share that with people, just as excited as we are about our new season of Stranger Things that we're obsessed with, right? And so we should share Jesus just as passionately. And so this is kind of targeted more towards Christians, followers of Jesus, maybe more of a burden as to why we need to be sharing the gospel. Why do we need to do that? And then at the end, if time allowed, I want to share just a little strategy of to how. How can we share the gospel? Maybe we feel ill-equipped. Maybe we feel like, well, I just don't know a good strategy. Well, time allowing, I want to share a little way that has always worked for me, that's beneficial. And if you're hearing this and you say, man, I'm not a follower of Jesus, well, stay tuned in. Like, stay listening, because I want you to hear about what the gospel is, what the good news is, that it's not... I want you to hear about it, even though if you may not believe in it right now. And so I this is another thing that I've come across recently on one of the Instagram pages I follow called Honest Youth Pastors. But there was a recent Barna poll, and they found out that almost half of millennials thought evangelism was wrong. This means that there is an up and coming group of Christians that don't think they should actively be telling others about Jesus. And so that's really scary that there's a millennial. I'm a millennial, so 20-somethings. Like, there's this generation that think evangelism is wrong, that we shouldn't be sharing Jesus. And it's almost, well, I'm not one of those Christians. I'm a cool Christian. Like, I don't want to share Jesus with you if that offends you. Look, the gospel's already offensive, but I want you to know that there's hope in Jesus. And so... So starting off, I want to start off where Jesus left off at Matthew 28. So now that Jesus has resurrected and is alive, now what? We look in Matthew 28 in verses 18 through 20, and I know we know this. This is familiar. We know this as the Great Commission, but we sometimes term this as the Great Suggestion. But Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says this, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of age.'" So even though this is Jesus talking to the disciples there at the end, saying, "All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples." I love that phrasing of "go, therefore, and make disciples," because, like I said, we as followers of Jesus sometimes turn that into just a great suggestion. That was really good, Jesus, but that's not for me. That's for those that are particularly called to ministry, like pastors and youth pastors or worship pastors, all of them, people on church staff. That's for them. But no, that's for anybody who's put their faith in Jesus. We are to go, and actually that phrasing "go," it translates almost as "you are going." So it's a phrase of, hey, you know, you're going to go about this, and as you're going, share Jesus, or share the gospel, share the good news. And so Jesus's last command right here is our first as believers. Jesus's last command is our first command. As we enter into a relationship with him, we learn about him, we are discipled in him, but we're also to immediately like turn around and start sharing this good news that we have with Jesus. And so he lists us some things of, as we go about, as followers of Jesus, what do? Well, we make disciples. How do we make disciples? We invest in them. We teach them God's word. Like he said, teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. We baptize them. I don't believe that baptism is not the means of salvation, but baptism is an outwardly expression as to what has happened internally. Baptism is incredibly important. It's your public proclamation of I identified with my sin. I have died to my old ways. I'm made new in my relationship with Jesus. And so it's just an outwardly expression of what's happened internally. And so it's the first step of obedience, following through in baptism. And so Jesus is alive. Now what? We follow through on the Great Commission and not the Great Suggestion. As we are going, we are to make disciples. And here's my definition of what I have about what discipling is, because I know discipleship looks different for everybody and how they do it. But this is just what I have. Discipling is an intentional relationship where we walk alongside other believers in order to encourage, equip, and challenge one another in love to grow in maturity in Christ. And so we do that by living out our faith in front of others and also communicating the message that's internally changed us forever. And so that's not to be taken lightly. That's not just a suggestion. That's a command from Jesus. His last is our first as followers of Jesus. And so we share the gospel. We live the Great Commission out. And I want to share a few things as to why share the gospel with someone. Why should we, as followers of Jesus, why should we share the gospel? I have in 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 4, one of the reasons why we should share the gospel with someone is in hopes for that person to have a relationship with God. That should be our biggest concern, is we don't just see people as projects, but we see people as, man, these people are destined to hell. If they don't know Jesus, I want them to know them. I want them to know who God is and have a relationship with him. I look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. It says this, "In this, the love of God was manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into this world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." And so you see, even God's hope in this is that God's love was made manifest among us. How? By him sending his Son Jesus to live for us. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but even while we were his enemies and we were against him, we were the ones that turned our back on him, he was the one that made a way for us to be restored back to him. That is the greatest form of love that we have ever seen and will ever see, right? That he sent his Son Jesus to be our substitute, to be our who stepped in for us to fill the gaps in where we couldn't. And so so God obviously knew that, man, there's no way that my creation, my people, can ever pay that back. It's too great of a debt for them. So the only criteria that can meet this is myself, which is why he sent his Son Jesus to live the sinless and perfect life we're incapable of living up to, being our substitute on the cross, paying the penalty of our sin with his own life, all in hopes that we would have a relationship with God. Another reason that I think that why we should share the gospel as followers of Jesus is this. This may seem obvious, but to inherit eternal life. Inherit eternal life. We want to be, not just to live forever, but to be with him forever. Like, that's where the glory is. That's where, that's what heaven is. It's all with God. And so some verses that pop off the mind about having eternal life, you know, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not die, but have eternal life." John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus." All right. And so the last one, 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 says this, "And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." And so why do we share the gospel as followers of Jesus is, one, we don't only just want our friends to have hope because of who God is. We want them to experience eternal life. We want them to know God for all eternity. And we have John 3:16 that backs it up, that he loved you so much that he provided Jesus for us. And Jesus has made it clear for us that in John 14:6, that this is Jesus' words himself saying, "I am the way." People say there's a lot of other ways to get to God. There's not any other way. If there were multiple ways to get to heaven, there would have been no need for Jesus to die on the cross.
Come on.
I mean, why would God sacrifice his one and only Son if there are multiple roads to heaven? So Jesus' words, he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. It's only by faith in Jesus and Jesus alone can we experience eternal life. And we have 1 John 5:11 that backs that up. And it says, "And this is the testimony." Testimony is like if you're in court and there's an eyewitness account, they step up on the stand and they testify to the truth, their truth that they've seen. Mm-hmm. I know we live in a world of what's relative truth. What may be true for you may not be true for me. Scripture is what I know is absolute truth. There's no wiggle room about it. There's no, yeah, but maybe. Like, no, this is God's final word. It's inerrant, perfect, without fault. Jesus, in this, 1 John 5:11, "And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." And so why should we share the gospel with this? Because of the hope that we want people to know God and have a relationship with him, but also to have eternal life, to be with God for all eternity. Usually, I know, man, I'm guilty of this too. We look at that and like, man, I can't wait to get to heaven because I'm going to hug my grandma T. I'm so ready to see my grandma T again. I want to love her. We always think of that stuff. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But man, I'm ready to get to heaven to hug my King Jesus just as much as I am. I know I got family members up there, but they're going to have to wait in line because my goal is I want to get to heaven because I want to be with God ultimately. And so we share the gospel for that. The third thing that I think why we as followers of Jesus should share the gospel with someone is to have forgiveness of sin and freedom from it. I want to share a couple of verses with you that I think back this up, but Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. That we should have forgiveness of sin and freedom from it. Ephesians 1, verse 7 says this, in him being Jesus, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to his riches in grace. And then Psalm 103, verse 12, says this, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. I've always loved that picture. So Ephesians 1, 7, that that we can have forgiveness of our sins, or we are redeemed. We have redemption through Jesus, meaning this we have value. We've been brought back. But also, I love Psalm 103, verse 12. Just this picture: as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions above us. The best way I think about this is that's how far God casts our sins away from us when we have forgiveness of our sin. I think about a globe. And if you're here, we're here in Oklahoma and we're traveling north, we eventually hit all the way north. And then once you get to the other side of the globe, you eventually start going back south again. So you're not always continuously going north. Eventually you're going to go back south. Then you're going to get low enough. You're eventually going to come back. So if it was say he casts your sin as far as the north is from the south, for me, that tells me, well, that means my sin could come back on me. Or come back to me. Or maybe God doesn't fully forgive me. He forgives me for a time being, but then we're going to be, maybe he's more like human because us, we'll hold on to it. Like, okay, yeah, I'm not mad at you. Like, I forgive you until they mess up again. And then we bring that occasion back up and be like, hey, you remember that last time? Like, you stabbed me in the back. I thought you forgive me up for it. I'm like, well, yeah, but now I'm angry again, right? We resurface old things that we said we've forgiven. So God says, I don't cast your sins as far as the north is from the south because it's not going to circle back on you. He says, I cast your sins as far as the east is from the west because if you always travel east, you can never, ever go any other direction. You will continually, forever go east. Same thing if you go west. You go west, you will never, ever go east again. Like, you're continuously always going to go west. And so for me, when I hear this, that he forgives us of our sins, he forgives us of our transgressions or our sins, as far as the east is from the west, he removes our transgressions from us. God is different. God is not human. God does not resurface old sinfulness against you. In fact, 1 John 1:9 says that, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just, and that he cleanses us of all of our unrighteousness. He removes sin from us as if we've never sinned before. And we can't go 2 days without getting mad at someone and holding on to it. And God of all creation, who has every right to be offended and mad at us and wipe us clean like from the earth again, doesn't. Why? Because he loves us so much that he provided a way to have forgiveness of sin, and that's only through Jesus. Mm-hmm. This is why it is so important that we share the gospel with people, because people think God is this angry old man up in the clouds throwing lightning bolts at people. But no, God wants to redeem his people and restore them back to himself. And he's paid the penalty of sin by sending Jesus to be the propitiation, our substitute in that moment. And so number four, as to why we should share the gospel with someone is this: not only to have eternal life, but to escape hell. I mean, not to just say, I'm just going to follow Jesus because I just don't want to go to hell. So I'll say the prayer. I got the golden ticket. I've accepted Jesus. Now I can continue to live however I want. No, that's not the case. You don't get to say, you don't get to proclaim heaven and continue to live like hell. You don't get to do that. but it is a reality of we should not want our best friends to experience hell ever. We should have such a deep compassion for the things of God and not want to see them spend eternity separated from God. Because we know this, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. we rightfully deserve not just physical death, but that verse, spiritual death. We rightfully deserve hell in every way, shape, or form of that. As sinners, as disobedient people of God, we rightfully deserve that in the continuation of that verse. But the free gift is eternal life, yet again, in Jesus. It's almost like Jesus is pretty significant in this thing, and he is. So we should have this burden on our heart that we don't want anybody to experience hell. You must really have to hate someone to not share Jesus with them. You must really have to hate them to not want them to escape the penalty of sin, which is hell, to not know everlasting peace, to not have eternal life. And that's not how I want to live. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says this, because this is my favorite thing, one of my favorite verses. It says this: the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. I've tried to work on it, but I'm not so good at it. I'm not very patient. I mean, it depends on the situation. It depends on the people. It depends on what's going on. But my wife and I, when we go out to eat and I see that it's packed, I like immediately get grumpy. So I'm like, I don't want to wait. I would rather just go through fast food or do something quick rather than go to like Chili's and see a long line and them going like, it's a 30-minute wait. I'm like Brahms is right down the road. And there ain't nothing wrong with like their, you know, their pepper jack bacon burger or whatever.
Right.
And so I'm like, we can go through the line and get through it a lot quicker. But sometimes, you know, we just want a nice sit down meal. And so I get grumpy. I just don't want to do it. I don't want to wrestle our children because they act like heathens in there, like they've never been in public before. And I just don't want to deal with it. And so I'm impatient in that way. I'm fast to be impatient. But I love this. Said the Lord, he's not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but he's patient towards you. So it's not that he's slow, or people are like, come on, God, like, come back, we're ready for it. He's like, no, there's still people here that have not heard or had the chance to respond to the gospel yet, and I want them to have that chance. So he's not slow in fulfilling his promise to return for his church, but he's patient with those who may have never heard the gospel yet, because he knows that the hell that they're living through and the hell that they're destined to go to. And he needs his Christian people, his followers of Jesus, to step in, fill the gaps in, and intercede on their behalf, praying for them, speaking Jesus to them, sharing the gospel with them, because they don't want them to experience hell, because they want them to experience life. And I know we, as Jesus followers, as Christians, we often... the world is really hard. It's really hard to live here. It's really hard to go through this life. It's been put in a new light for me. As miserable, as difficult as life is as a follower of Jesus, this is the closest to hell I'm ever going to experience in real life. Like, this, seriously, this is as closest to hell I'm ever going to experience, because my eternity is in heaven because of my faith in Jesus. For those that don't know Jesus, can't say that. If they don't know the Lord, this is as close to heaven they'll ever get, because they're destined for hell. And we've got to share the gospel with them. And so why do we share the gospel? So they have hope in a relationship with God, so that they would inherit eternal life, so that they would have forgiveness of their sin and freedom from it, and also to escape a real place called hell. And so this is transitioning to this. How will they hear the good news? Well, I love in Romans chapter 10, I think these couple of verses really impact how I see my ministry, how I want to live for the Lord. It's Romans 10, verses 14 through 17. I think this sums it up. How will these people hear the good news? So Romans 10, verse 14 through 17, it says this: How then will they call on him in whom they've not believed? How are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? How are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. And so Paul, he's writing this in kind of like these rhetorical questions that kind of eventually answer themselves of, you know, how will these unfollowers, how will these lost people call on Jesus if they've not believed on him? How are they to believe in Jesus if they've never heard of him? How are they to hear about Jesus without someone preaching it? And how are people to preach unless they're sent? And so I think about it this way. I kind of answer those questions. I say this. So people will call on Jesus to save because they believe he can. And they will believe because they gained knowledge by hearing about him. And they've heard because someone shared the good news with them. And the good news will be preached by those who are sent. And to remember, it's the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. Who are those that sent? You are sent. We as followers of Jesus, we are the ones that are sent to share the gospel. Not just pastors, not just youth pastors, not just church staff, followers of Jesus. Because in Corinthians, it talks about, you know, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are part of the ministry of reconciliation. You yourself, as a follower of Jesus, you're a construction worker, you're a school teacher, you're a nurse. You have a ministry. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have the responsibility of sharing the gospel. And I know that might seem scary at first, but you can do it because the Great Commission says all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So all authority has been given to King Jesus, not you. It's not about your performance, but it's about your obedience. And so how will they hear the good news? It's by us. They will hear it because they've chosen to believe it because someone heard, because they heard it. They heard it because someone taught it. And we are the ones teaching it. And because that's what Jesus commanded us to do. I love that last part that may seem a little bit out of place where Paul is saying this. How will they preach unless they are sent? Because it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. This is a reference out of the book of Isaiah. It's Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. And so in the old times, way back then, especially like just take like the Bible for a moment like this, when the Israel nation, or the Israel army, you know, when they're out battling and fighting, how are the people back home going to hear about if they've won the battle or not? Or should they run for the hills? Are we in trouble? Did we lose the battle? Or have we won and we have victory? They would take people to the battle that were cross-country people, like cross-country runners that could run for hours and hours to get back to deliver, hey, we've lost, pack up your things and get out of town. Like, we've lost, and the people are coming to take over our village or whatever it is. Or they come back to bring the good news of, hey, we've won, there's victory, we're going to celebrate. And so in Isaiah 52, verse 7, it says this, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. And so you have watchmen up on their tower. Mm-hmm. They see a distance, a runner coming to them, and they're going to be listening and paying attention to what he's going to be shouting. And imagine that runner coming back shouting, we've won, we have victory, they've been defeated, our king has won, we have victory. And the watchmen, they're going to celebrate, and the town's going to know, we have nothing to worry about. We have won. We have victory. So when we go back to this about Romans 10, 14, 17, you know, how are they going to hear if someone doesn't teach it? How are they going to believe it if they don't hear it? How are they going to hear it unless someone shares it? Who's going to share it unless they're sent? And how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news? And so that's us as followers of Jesus. We can run into this dying world that's flaming everywhere and share them. How beautiful are the feet of those who bear and bring the good news of saying, hey, we've won. Jesus is victorious. He's alive. And we're going to be good. Like, Jesus is alive. We have victory because our King lives. And so we have that message to share. And so I'll close with this before we go to a time of prayer. There's this saying I see on Facebook at times. I've seen this all over the place. It's been years I've seen this different place. And I don't know if I did that. Sorry. Maybe I did. It's this saying. It says, share the gospel, and if necessary, use words. Share the gospel, and if necessary, use words. I like that because it's conveying this message of, hey, don't only just share the gospel, but live it out. Live out your Christian faith. And I get that, but we get to that place, and then have you ever actually seen somebody out in public and just seen how they acted and going like, wow, That makes me want to live like Jesus. I've hardly ever have ever done that. And then whenever they do try to act like that, we kind of immediately go to this place of like, oh, they're holier than thou. Like, oh, they act all spiritual. Ooh, look at them. Right. And like we flip the coin on them. So like it's hardly ever been a moment, especially if I'm thinking as a lost person and I see someone. And now I know that those occasions have happened. I'm not undermining that. But it scares me because it comes from this mindset of I only have to live out my faith and I'm just going to win people left and right to the Lord. When like that just doesn't happen. We've heard that there's power in the words of Jesus, that we must share and actually verbally communicate and speak the good news of the gospel. And so taking that, instead of share the gospel, and if necessary, used words, Greg Steer, who's the co-founder of Dare to Share Ministries, he swapped it and he shares it like this. Share the gospel. It's necessary. Use words. It's not enough to just try to live out your faith, because oftentimes we struggle with living out our faith personally. But it's whenever you decide to use words to communicate the gospel, the message of Jesus, there's power in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. We've got to speak that out. We've got to share and have a burden on our heart for those that are lost. And know that there's no plan B. There's only ever a plan A. God provided Jesus so that we may be restored back to God the Father, how with the original relationship he designed for us to have, and we've been called to be a partner in that ministry. If we fail, it's on us to help carry on that mission. But the good news is we don't have to do that on our own strength, because all authority has been given to Jesus in heaven and on earth. So we're not operating out of your own strength. I know that sounds a little scary, but when we come back, I'd like to share a little bit of a strategy as to maybe how to have a good news conversation.